We're going to get into prayer in a little bit, but I want to share from the Word. So why don't you open up to Luke chapter 11, if you brought your Bibles with you. If not, share with somebody next to you. All right? All right, everybody there? Luke chapter 11. Now, we're going to be talking about prayer being personal. And I know some of you probably thought, well, I know that. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the depth of that personal characteristic of prayer. Because I think sometimes we can get caught in our prayer life being such that it's almost kind of like we can either feel like we're putting a note in a bottle and sending it out, throwing it out to sea, or we can feel that we're never having time, but I'm throwing these prayers out to God, and I got to go do this, and I got to go do that, and that isn't really personal. Can you imagine if you, with someone you're close to, or was always just shouting out things to you that they need you to do, and then they leave? And that isn't very personal, right? And it's essential, very essential, that we understand how personal prayer is to be to us. Now, when you look here at Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the very first thing we see here is that the disciples, through circumstances, asked Jesus something. It says, now it came to pass as he was praying. So Jesus, they're seeing Jesus pray. His disciples are watching him pray. Now, I don't know if they're praying with him or if they're quietly just waiting. It just says that that this comes after he was praying in a certain place, in some private place that he had. He was there talking to God. Now it says, when he stopped praying, that one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now understand something. When you got to be taught something, it's usually something that doesn't come natural. Right? You know, it wasn't typical when you were a three-year-old that you already knew how to cook an egg. Right? Cook food, use a stove. You had to be taught how to do it because it wasn't natural. Now, you didn't have any trouble doing other things, right, as a child. Didn't have trouble playing, right? That just comes natural. You didn't have any trouble crying, right? But as you got older even, there's things that we have to learn. And as Christians, not everything comes natural. Now, and especially when it comes to God, We're keep in mind, we're praying to someone we can't even see. Now, you guys are a bunch of lunatics because of that. Think about that. You are talking or look to talk or desire to talk to someone you believe is there, but you can't see them. And so it's really personal. And it even more so we need to grab the aspect and the characteristic of it being personal. That it isn't a quick, you know, run and shout out a quick need and then keep going, right? It's something that you stop and you do and you put aside other things so that you can be personal. And here's the thing, it's something that we have to learn. It's something that they wanted to learn. How do I pray? How do I actually do what you're doing, Jesus? Because we know you got some connection, but we don't have that. We want that. We want to be able to have that relationship that you got. See, they saw something there. It wasn't just, I'm sure, I'm positive because of who Jesus was. It wasn't just this Jesus going through these motions. And understand, they're not asking him to teach them the mechanics of prayer. Right? Stand a certain way, sit a certain way, have your hands a certain way, do it at this time of the day. They're not wanting that. They're seeing and watching their mentor, because they don't quite understand he's the Messiah yet, but they understand him as a rabbi, as a godly man, as a gifted man, as one that hears from God and is used by God. So they're wanting to know, okay, teach us how to do this, what you're doing here. All right? Now, prayer comes from a Greek word, and I'm not even going to try to say it because I'll mess it up anyway, but it's made of two words. And the first part of the word is pros, which means implying motion, direction, at or towards something. It can express a dependence and a relation with another. All right? Pro. Interesting, when it talks about the Holy Spirit, it talks of that same, not necessarily a word, but it's a, what's the right word? I'm thinking of preposition. It's a preposition to another word. And in this case, the preposition is to another word, which is yokomai, meaning to wish. That's what prayer is. It's to wish. And this wish is motivated or put towards someone in a relationship, right? And in this case, it's God. It's putting your wishes before God. It's putting what's in your heart, what you desire before God in some ways, and saying, Lord, I have this wish, this desire, the hope that this might happen, and I'm putting it before you. It's sharing it with God. So that's kind of the general meaning of prayer. And we all have wishes, don't we? You know, all types of wishes. Some of them are just about things that we'd like to see happen in our lives. Some of them are for the benefit of others. Some of them are for maybe some thing to turn around from being tragic and horrible. We have wishes of seeing something happen. So there's obviously some result from that. Now here we see him. They said, teach us to pray. And it says, as John also taught his disciples. So John the Baptist, who they're talking about, also had this relationship. And they saw that relationship. And they heard about that John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. So it's not something that just comes automatic. Oh, I'm saved now. Now I just got this connection and pray and I do all these things. But it's sometimes difficult, isn't it? You're wondering, am I praying right? Is God hearing me? You know, you go through a lot of questioning sometimes. And so what he starts to teach them is how personal prayer is in his teaching to them. So let's read on from verse 2. It says, so he said to them, when you pray, so he's expecting them to pray. See, he's not expecting them not to pray. So when you pray, okay, teach us to pray. Okay, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So if we take a look at this, we're going to see that what Jesus is teaching them is just about how personal prayer is. He's not teaching them mechanics. He's not teaching them, here's the steps you do, and make sure you follow these steps, and then you'll have answered prayer. Because that'd be terrible. Can you imagine somebody coming to you and asking you the same thing every day the same way, with the same words, at the same time? How would you feel, right? If that coworker always came up to you to ask you the same thing the same way the same time, or your kids asking you the same thing. And you well, wait a minute, kids do that, don't they? All right? It's like, oh my gosh, stop, will you? Right? Mommy, 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 mommy. And it's usually this, and they want this thing, and they won't let go, right? But they'll maybe do it the next day the same way. But anyway, it's an irritant, isn't it? Why? Because it's not really personal. It's not really personal. Though it is interaction, it's not really personal. And that's why in other places Jesus teaches about not being redundant in prayer, not being repetitive in prayer, not just saying the same thing over and over and over again. Because he says that's how the heathens pray. See, they go before their gods and they just keep repeating the same prayer over and over again. Why? Because there's no personal relationship. Because that God isn't alive. It's dead. It's like non-existent. But we have a God that does interact with us. And so first of all, we see here in this relationship, in this personal relationship we have, is that we're to address Him and to acknowledge Him as our Heavenly Father. Now that speaks of a lot of things when you start thinking about Father, the word Father, what it means. All right. Obviously, in our earthly existence, a father is one that has fathered us. They've brought us into the world. But we're attached to them physically, our looks, color of our eyes, maybe character, attitude, size, dimension, right? There's a lot of things that that we're related to and we're attached to them. It's not just someone we call Father. It's someone that has given us life. Someone that is in us, right? And through us. And in this way, God has given us life. And so He's our Heavenly Father. And so there's this personal relationship, not just of knowing one another, but of really being attached through His life being in us. That's pretty personal, right? You know, when I look at my children and they call me Dad, or they say, that's my Father, right? That's something special about that, right? It's really special because there's this connection. It means so much of what my relationship is. Not just that I'm a caregiver and that I've been there for them and I provided for them when they're growing up and I'm there for advice and all this stuff and have gotten on them. There's more to that. It talks about a physical connection that nobody can take away, that is theirs. And so it comes with a lot you could say privileges, right? Because I'm Dad. So there's a connection there and a love there as well that's based upon that, as well as a care that they know that they can reach out to me. And same thing with their mom. My daughter broke, was it Friday night, honey? Friday night she broke her leg? Was it Saturday? Now I can't remember. I think it was Friday night. Friday afternoon, she gets a text, and I eventually talk to my daughter, but she lets us know that she broke her leg in two places. She was in emergency. She thinks she broke her leg. They hadn't x-rayed it yet, but it turned out she did break her leg in two places. But when I spoke to my daughter, you know, she called because she was upset, right? And to hear me and hear her mom brought comfort because of our relationship. And that's personal. See, she had a wish. Make this go away. Make me feel better, Dad, because I'm hurting. And it's just a horrible time, right? And so now there's this personal relationship. It wasn't like she just sent a text. She needed to talk. A text was fine just to say a quick note because she's being transported by her boyfriend. But she needed to actually talk. And that's one thing. That's what God desires from us, is to have that actual personal time with Him. For those of you who just walked in, we're in Luke chapter 11. So the second thing there we see is this acknowledgement of His name. Hallowed be your name. Or holy is your name. Or sanctified, set apart. There's none like it. Your name is one of a kind to me. And here's the thing. Not only is God holy and set apart from all things and all other gods and all other that exists, but in our hearts, He is sanctified. In our hearts, He is holy. He is separate from everything else and stands above it all. Stands above all the things that are in our heart. And so it's a placement of not only, wow, He's our Father, but wow, He's also holy. And He's holy to me. And I think that's the same way as a child looks to their parent and their father or their mother. They look at them and go, wow, they're mine. They're my parents. Sometimes they don't want, no, those aren't my parents. Right? But in a healthy situation, that's my mom and dad. Right? And they run to them when they have needs, or they go and hug them because they love them, or they brag about them because they love their mom and dad, and so they tell others, right? You know, even little boys, they say, my daddy can beat up your daddy. That still is, because he's my daddy. See, that his daddy, his father, is holy to his own heart and his being, who he is. And my daddy's not your daddy. He's my daddy, right? And so there's that connection and personal experience we have with this God as we pray, as we go to Him. And so He's telling His disciples, He is your Heavenly Father. He is to be holy to you. And you're to lift Him, His name as being holy, as separate from everything else. So basically He's saying, acknowledge who He is and exalt Him in your prayer life, in your approach to Him in prayer. When you approach God in prayer, realize how magnificent He is. how special he is. This is really important because when we acknowledge, when I found in my life, when I come to God with that awareness, with that on my mind of how just tremendous God is and how great he is and how he's my God and he's my Father and he's my Lord, it starts to settle my heart when there's difficulties that I'm going to be bringing before him. When there's hardship, when there's worries, when there's challenges. It just seems to make those things start to shrink right off the get-go, right? Just immediately, I find that happening. So I find that many times when I've gone to the Lord, just taking that time to acknowledge who he is starts to put my circumstances in their proper place. They don't seem as impossible to deal with. It doesn't mean that they go away or that I ignore them, but it does mean that they do shrink in size as God is magnified in my heart and my mind. And I'm reminding basically myself of who God is. All right, he knows who he is. I'm not necessarily reminding him. But it is that part of prayer as we approach him, whether it's spoken in our prayer time or whether it's just our heart coming to him in that understanding. Because when we do come to him in that understanding, there's a personal relationship there that says it's going to be okay. Right? You know, again, going back to my daughter and other times when my daughters have had challenges and things, and them calling up, they know they can call their dad. And my oldest daughter used to tell her friends, he goes, I just go to my dad because he's got a hotline right to God. And so she recognized the relationship I have with the Lord and goes, well, mine isn't as strong, but I can go to God, Dad, and he's got one. He's got the red phone on his desk, and it just picks it up, and there's God in her mind. And she used to tell her friends that and tell me that. She goes, I'll just come to you because you got that hotline to God, Dad, right? But see, we all have that hotline to God. He's ours. He's there for us. But yet he's magnificent and able to deal with the things that we bring before him. And he's greater than anything else. He's separate from everything else. And in our hearts, he's separate. He is the most important thing in our heart. And so he speaks of this. And then submission. We see submission. And your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It doesn't mean this is what we're to pray, but it does mean that we're submitted to what God's will is, God's direction is. Now, this isn't done blindly. Understand this. This isn't a blind statement like, well, I don't know what your will is, Lord, so whatever it is, great, you just do it. Because we have a God that is personal, that is our Father, that desires to reveal his will to us. I believe one of the greatest mistakes Christians make is that they don't believe they can hear God, and so they kind of throw their prayers up, and they go, okay, here's my prayers, if it's your will. But they never say, well, Lord, is this your will? Tell me. I want to know. If so, then why should I pray this? Let me pray something else. Speak to me, Lord. But instead, it's a throw up the prayer, and here's where that quick throw it and go. Right? I'm going to throw it up there, and okay, if it's your will, then all the doors will be open, and then you start running. You know, going for whatever it is that you want to go for. I expect whatever it is to happen. But when I find Scripture, when I look at Scripture, I see men and women hearing from God. Hearing from this person, I think of Abraham automatically because in the Scriptures it says that he was the friend of God. Now, how cool is that for a title, right? This is my friend, God. Think of that. And to be told by God that you're his friend. Really remarkable. And Abraham having that relationship to hear God, to get directions, to be given promises, to know what those promises were. And as he went and trusted God based upon what he heard God say and what he knew God told him to do, he would be more would be revealed with each step. And God would reveal more and reveal more and reveal more. All right? And then he trusted God through all that he went through as well and trusted God with the promises that were given to him, knowing that they weren't only for his life, but they were for the future. And so this is something that's really important as we are submitted. Are we submitted to whatever God may want to speak to us or whatever God may want us to do in that circumstance we're bringing to him or in however we're to even then not to do? God may tell you, I don't want you to do anything. I want you to sit still and watch what I do. but I just got to have my hands on it and fix it, and I have trouble, right? And God said, no, let me do it. And that may be the situation many times. Are we willing to submit for His will to be done? His kingdom, right? Your kingdom come. Your kingdom be in, and it's really interesting when you think about that. He's saying, when you pray, understand the kingdom of God. Understand it's His kingdom, not our kingdom. And if I really follow Christ, He says, well, my kingdom isn't here on earth, it's in heaven. So the desire is, our desire of submitting is, Lord, we want Your kingdom here. We want Your will, which is basically His kingdom being manifested among us here in my life, in my situation, in my circumstances, in my family, whatever it might be. Lord, I want Your will, Your kingdom to rule here in my life, in this situation. So there's a submission to God's being king over your life. So we see Him as Father. We see Him as set apart, and there's no one like Him. We see Him as king as well, because He has a kingdom, and we desire that kingdom to come to pass on earth as it is in heaven. We want on earth for Him to rule like He rules in heaven. And that starts with us. It starts with our circumstances. It starts with, we want You, Lord, we welcome Your hand on this issue that I'm bringing forth to fix it, to change it, to modify it however You want. Or, Lord, to work in my life however You want, whether it is to carry me through that circumstance or to remove that circumstance. See, a lot of people will look to go, just get me out of here, Lord. I just, beam me up or something. Get me out of this situation. And not always is there a prayer, but Lord, if I'm to walk through this, if You have something for me to learn, if You have something for me to be strengthened through this trial, then Lord, be with me, strengthen me, and bring me through it victoriously. See, and that's when God's a winner either way, and so are you. And so we see the submission to His will being done. But God will communicate His will. That's important. If we're asking for His will, if we're asking for His kingdom, then we're going to see it and we're going to know it, and then we can follow it and obey it. This is really important. And again, it's personal. See, this is where God is personally communicating with us and personally interacting with us. And then there's verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. An acknowledgement of His provision, that He's the provider. That He will provide you with what you need. Now, you can just take this, it's for daily needs, your gas and electric and your bills being paid. No. Your daily bread is everything you need. Body, soul, spirit, mind. See, you have to think this more in the idea that Jesus said He was the bread of life, the manna from heaven. Well, He didn't just come and take care of our physical needs and make sure you had a house over your head and go, okay, you're saved now, I'm gone. No, He came and dealt with our spiritual need as well, right? He touched us spiritually. He took away our sin. And so, as we look at this verse and say, Lord, provide us, give us day by day our daily bread. What I need today, mentally, spiritually, what I need emotionally to fill my life. And it's basically asking God to just provide you with everything you need, which He wants to do. Right? There's nothing that He wants to hold back from us. Now, we can eliminate ourselves through sin and improper lifestyle and things. But when we turn and we repent, those things are taken care of, and God is ready to bless us again. But for us as believers, as we're faithfully looking to Him and acknowledging Him and seeking Him, we're looking for His kingdom, His will to be done, we're submitted to what He wants to do in our lives, then the next thing is, okay, Lord, provide me with what I need. Whatever it is, Lord, provide me with what I need today. And remember Jesus' words about not worrying about what happens tomorrow. All right? There's enough evil in tomorrow to deal with tomorrow. But today, right now, for this moment, for this circumstance, for whatever it is that you may be experiencing or needing, looking to God to speak to you today and provide you that daily bread that you need. And again, if we are really just kind of quickly throwing prayers up and then on, while we're on the run, many times we don't really realize and maybe even ask for all that we need. Oh, I need this taken care of, Lord. I need this out of the way. I need this problem solved. I need this thing changed in my life. And we're running off and not really spending time to where the Lord goes, well, I want to change something in you. Hold on. I want to transform you so this thing doesn't even bother you anymore. Where that's not an issue anymore. Wait. I want to give you some wisdom because I got something for you to do with that situation that will take care of it. Right? It can be all types of things, but if we're just, okay, Lord, here's my prayers, and we throw them up there, and we're on the run, then it's not personal anymore, and then we're not going to hear God anymore. Now, it doesn't mean that at times something has occurred so quickly that all you got is a chance to go, Lord, help me. Right? Jesus! Right? That's it. And at times that might be the case, but when we do have the time, when we know what the needs are, and we have to put our hearts before this personal God we have, because He wants us to come to Him and depend upon Him, because He wants to bless us, and He wants to be recognized for who He is, not just somebody that answers your requests. He's not customer service, okay? He's not customer service. And aren't we glad we don't call God and get, okay, if this has to do with your health, press 3. If this has to do with your finances, we just get God, right? When we go before Him and we call on His name, and then He's right there ready to hear us. And so there's a submission to His kingdom. There's a dependency upon His provision for us and all that we need. And then there's, at times in prayer, repentance. There's repentance. At time that now that is one of the most personal things in this in what Jesus is teaching here, because it's not like you want everybody to know how you've been blowing it and in sin, right? You go, let me pray now. I'm going to pray about my sin and repent. Okay, oh, quiet everybody. You don't do that. You don't want to do that. So it's one of the most personal things there is, isn't it? When you failed, how wonderful! God doesn't need you to go spouting it off everybody. He wants you to come to Him. And I think that's why at times, Jesus got down on the Pharisees because they were so public and praying publicly and looking really good when they publicly prayed and prayed in front of people. And they did it all for show. They did it to be seen by men, He says. And He tells the disciples, not with you. You go to your private closet and you go pray. And when you pray privately, God will bless you and reward you publicly, openly. And so that doesn't mean that there isn't public prayer in the sense of joining together as members, because we see in Scripture that the church joined to pray together as well. But what He's saying is that prayer is still personal. It's still between you and your God, your Lord, your Heavenly Father, to acknowledge Him for who He is, to be submitted to whatever His will is, and at times even to repent of things in your heart that aren't right. And that's one thing. And when you're taking that time with Him and not just throwing that prayer like a newspaper boy and trying to throw it up to God real quick as you run off to the next issue, God's able to talk to you and say, there's some things in your life I want to talk to you about. And maybe you find that, this circumstance kind of came up because of my foolishness. I'm sorry, Lord. And then there's direction and submission and repentance and such that God may want to get your attention to deal with. So important for us that we understand these things of how personal prayer is. And notice in this that there isn't that the what He's presenting here in this initial teaching on prayer, because I believe He taught not just this but more on prayer as we do see in other scriptures, but we see here that there's just asking for things that are the needs, physical needs, spiritual needs, that He's instructing them to do. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't ask for other things that aren't physical or spiritual needs. That doesn't mean that. But in his initial teaching them about prayer, his present, what he's presenting to them is acknowledging God, of who he is, as you go to him, recognize him for who he is in your life, acknowledge him for his provision, acknowledge him for his kingdom and that desire for his will to be done, but and also have a heart ready to repent of those things that may need that are hindering that relationship with God, all right? Because that's what sin does. It hinders that relationship with God, and it gives us no confidence that God is hearing us. It ruins our confidence. You know, it's kind of like when you've had an argument with somebody, and now you're wondering, well, do they even want to talk to me now? Where before the argument, it was like, oh, hey, I think I'll call so-and-so and see if they want to go, you know, shopping. But then you have an argument, and I don't know if I can talk to them. You know, I'm really nervous about that. See, your confidence is shot. The same thing happens with God. If there's sin in our life, if there's a breaking of that relationship, because prayer is personal, then our prayer will be hindered. And so, at times there may be that repentance, which then brings this relationship close again, and now a confidence in those needs being met. And like I said, this doesn't mean that we're to disregard other things that we desire. So prayer is definitely that. And then as we look in other scriptures, like Matthew 21:22, it says, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believe you will receive." Prayer is an act of faith. And faith is personal, because that's how our life with Christ started and with God started. It started by faith. In the same way that we believed and it was accounted to us as righteousness because we believed in Christ, in the same way we believe in Christ and so we pray. We believe that He has taken down the separation between us and God, and now He is the bridge in which we come before God and are able to come before God and come into His throne room to receive that grace and mercy at time of need that Paul talks about. And so we're able to do this. Why? Because of our faith in Jesus. So our faith can't be in ourselves. It's got to be in Him. Even as we pray in that, gosh, He gave His life to us. I can believe Him for fulfilling or taking care of or responding to my prayers as well. If He saved me, and He loved me before while I was still a sinner, well, gosh, He loves me still, and now I'm His child, so He's going to be there for me because He's my Heavenly Father. And that personal relationship is the foundation of prayer, of talking with God, of seeking Him out. So what I want to do today to start with, we're not going to lift up a bunch of things. In the next couple of days, we're going to have things, probably lists of things to pray for, missionaries to pray for. We're going to talk about intercessory prayer. We're going to talk about petitioning God. What does petitioning mean when we see it in the Scriptures? Those little phrases and what that means. Again, the teaching that comes from the Scriptures is not mechanical. It's not on how you're supposed to do each thing, but really is of what you can. They're examples of what we can go to God about, right? And so for us today, as we join together as just the body of believers here, as God's children, of us going before Him. Now, maybe you're uncomfortable praying in a group. Well, the thing to remember is it's between you and Him. All right? It's between you and Him. And you may openly pray. That's great. And if you don't feel comfortable with it, that's okay. You may pray just inside your heart. That's the other thing. I think people think, oh, it has to be spoken by your voice and you got to say it. Well, gosh, what about all the Christians I know that I've met that can't even speak because they have no voice, so they have to use sign language. That kind of doesn't fit, does it? But it's God knows. You can talk to the Lord. I mean, we don't hear Him in an audible voice necessarily, but we do hear Him, and we can hear Him. And so we're going to take this time just to acknowledge Him, to give Him His place, to put our hearts before Him. And again, there isn't any, somebody calls it popcorn prayer because it's just a person that prays after each one, all right? And so we're just going to take that time to put our hearts before God. If it's worship, and you just want to worship Him and thank Him, wonderful. Guess what? That's still prayer. That's acknowledging Him and in His holiness, right? Okay, so that's important, how personal He is, okay? So we're going to take that time right now. And we'll